Hello, everyone. This is Glenda. We are ready to start our session, ready to come together in the name of Yeshua, inviting His presence and knowing that He is already here with us. We are so happy for each one of you that you are joining with Him because you are responding to His invitation. He has always been calling. He calls and He calls, but not everyone comes. And even those who come sometimes forget to ask. They forget to say anything or acknowledge His presence or theirs with Him. So we are together here to not only ask for ourselves, but to ask on behalf of those who don't know about this or don't even know about Him, or that He can really offer the answers and the blessings they need. So we come together on behalf of everyone else to sing their story and their praise to Him, that we may all be joined in a better state of living, a better way of life. We've got several people already in our call, so welcome to you. And Nancy is here with us. Welcome.
Hi,
Nancy.
Everyone. Thank you. I'm glad to, so happy to be here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And today is Gary Roberts' 36th birthday, so we'll send a blessing to him.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, that's awesome. Happy birthday, Gary Roberts. And you know, Papa's awfully proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, Nancy, I think what we will do is we're just going to open the line to our community and see what's on their hearts and their minds and what blessings we can offer. Okay?
Absolutely. I'm really excited because, Stormy, you're with us here today, and your line is open,
yeah.
Stormy. We've missed you.
Hey.
Hey, yeah. Stormy.
Evidently, I've been calling, traveling around the galaxy every time the call comes on. I fall asleep.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Time and time again. Even when I want to be on 5 minutes before, without any inclination, boom, I'm asleep. So I'm going to shake the stardust off and give you a blessing. The word I came up with a couple of months ago is a key word for all of humanity, and that key word is reliable. Now, it's already in use, but next year it will be the prominent key word for all of humanity, and any time anybody hears or uses that word, it also brings your energy level, your spiritual and well-being back up to 100%. It's something I learned to do in Inner Peace Movement. We get a word of positive affirmation. Anytime we hear it and use it, it brings our energy level back up. And when we go to, before we go to sleep at night, we regroup what we got out of it. And then when we wake up in the morning, we get another day. But this is a word for humanity, reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think
I
that's
like
a
that
really
word.
Special word. Yeah,
yeah.
I talked with you the other day about it.
I really like that word. I really do, because it draws on the power of truth. It draws on the power of commitment and faith and durability. And I think we're all going to be called on to sort the sheep from the goats this next year. And so that you don't think I'm being derogatory in the social or political sense, what I'm referring to as sheep and goats is all of life is a mixture of reality that traces back to truth and God, or illusion that even though it may be nice, like Disneyland, it may be a good dream, it's not reliable. It has an expiration date on it. It has maybe not underwriting of power underneath it. Maybe it can't perform, but it's not. So we enjoy it. And know that, well, maybe we could draw pleasure from it But what we really need in sorting out the chaos of the world, in returning back to balance and productivity and reliability and communion with our fellow man, that word is extremely important. So thank you, Stormy. Yes. That was, I thought that was a great
message. Being able to rely on one another, also
Absolutely.
Being able to rely on myself for myself, mm-hmm. and all the variations that you can come up with reliable. This yes. is a really beautiful thing that is happening. I told Susan about it over a month, and that day, the next day, she kept seeing reliable everywhere she went. She went, what? So it's already there.
Good.
And,
yeah, it's a universal. You know, it's a universal, and there's not too many things that pertain really to every dimension of life, but that word is one of them. So it's a good one. And by the way, Stormy, you sound really good. You sound like the rest did you good, and whatever you've been doing for your life has been having a great result.
Yeah, I've been listening to more of my music and playing more and getting ready to have it available for the world as I am putting things together with a little bit of extra reliable income coming in for me next at the start of the year with the cost of living and a reprogramming of my Humana plan. So, an extra $300 will be good for me for getting my recording studio set up and, getting everything plugged in and all kinds of stuff. I'm practicing more music on my guitar. My music is something that I can rely upon for myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I mentioned A Boy Named Sailboat is a good way for people to understand who I am. There's a movie to explain what happens when I often sing a note or I've played my music at places where congregations experience the peace that passes all understanding. So, one thing I can always have is that I can always rely on God to really surprise me all the time.
Yeah, you got it, Stormy. That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's so good to hear from you, Stormy, and we do need to take a few other callers because,
yes,
and I could go on forever. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we will, and we will.
Yeah, we will, for sure. For sure. Okay, well, let's make some room.
You can rely on that, bye.
Yeah, exactly. Let's make a little room on this call for a few other people, okay?
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bless you, Stormy. Bye-bye. Let's see, our line is open. Nancy, welcome.
Hi, Nancy and Linda. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
I have some blessings to ask for. My sister, Laura, they found something on her brain, and they don't know what it is. So she's going to have a biopsy to find out what it is and what they should do forward. I had cataract surgery, and still, and because of my corneas, I don't really see. I see well, but not well. Not perfectly, and I'm still waiting for my contacts to come in, and now my continuous glucose monitor has gone out, so, and none of that is coming in the mail. So, any energies that can expedite that coming to, through the mail would be really wonderful, and just a blessing to those who need it. And whether or not they ask for it or not, just blessings all around.
We ask for them. Okay, so yes. And I think the energies you need, and this goes for anyone who is a little bit, concerned about delays or complexities, things that don't quite happen when they should. Okay, that's all part of the world. It's all part of the world. You need to step a little bit into what we call quantum space, which is the timeless, dimensionless, part of existence. This is what we, can achieve in meditation. We can achieve in prayer if we really touch the field of God, the love of Yeshua, the Holy Spirit. They take us into that quantum field where there is no delay. Everything is instant. I have had so many experiences in the last 3 years where I would be working through a medical agenda, and God bless all the people in it. This is not meant as a complaint, but it is in the world, and it's got its timeline on it. You have to wait for tests to come back. You got to wait for appointments here. Mm-hmm. You got to wait for procedures there. You know,
right.
Everything has its timeline on it, and it has its dimension on it, and it's, of course, got its cost. All part of the world. And I would just ask for the Holy Spirit to come in. I would get Yeshua usually. Holy Spirit would say, hey, your girl's calling you. What? Get over there. You know.
Anybody's bored. Come on over.
Yeah. And I would wake up the next morning and what I was worried about would be gone. I mean, totally gone.
Part of me is going, you know, my eyes are getting better. And I go, and then they're not. And then they are. And then it's like, you know, it's me doing this, you know, that they're making the bad thing. So you guys keep on coming in. And I figure by the time the contacts come in, I probably won't need them. But
that's right. You probably won't. And what my main word to you right now is hold your faith, because it really is you and God doing it. We just need this outer framework of context and procedures to make us feel good about it. But it's really God and you doing the work. So hold your faith strong. Just stay there. Bless the ones who are working with you. They've got their place. They've got their role. But just know that hold strong to what you know. And don't deny it ever. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nancy, you're chuckling.
I'm always chuckling. He tickles.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, who do we have now?
Thank you, Nancy. We have Caroline. Hi. Happy Sunday.
Hi. Hey. So I have a question, Glenda, about giving the blessing. What do you do when you've realized that you've missed out a step? Because this happened last week. I realized I missed out the allowing everybody their own sovereignty step. And I wondered whether I should go back and include it in sequence or just continue on where I was.
No, actually, Caroline, this is probably not a good line to discuss this in depth. And I'm planning to have a convening of all blessing givers before Christmas so we can polish up and get ready to do some powerful blessings over the holiday season. But just right now, I would say, don't worry about it because your heart knows, okay? And your heart knows, and you've already entrained yourself. There are times that I move past almost everything and I realize, oh, my gosh, I was in quantum space where it all got done and I didn't even know it.
So and just keep calm and carry on, basically, wherever you are, continue with it.
And Carolyn, I have a compliment for you. I picked up your book last week, and I would recommend it to anybody. I had to pick it up before, even though you acknowledged Love Without End several times in it, because the subject wasn't really a topic of interest to me. But you are of interest to me, and I was interested in your comments, and so I picked it up, and I thought, okay, I'll spend a little time reading. Okay, I started reading, and I was captivated by your writing, by your way of presenting subjects that could be frightening to some people, that could be really put offing to many people. And you handled it with so much charm and candor and polished writing that I just kept reading. I didn't want you to put your book down. So I went from someone relatively not interested in the subject to someone who didn't want to put the book down. But first I will say that as a writer and as a many years teacher in the university level, I really admire good writing. I mean, I get sucked in by good writing, and I'm so glad you either took the time, had the talent, or got the help to make the writing really, really flow well. It makes all the difference in getting the message across to other people. So I didn't read the whole book, but I'm sure it's wonderful. And
wow. Thank you so much for doing that. I mean, because it's a comedy self-help about breast cancer and infidelity, so that's not really something that is relevant to your life at the moment anyway.
That subject was not very interesting to me, frankly, and I think it wouldn't be to many people, but, you know, there's probably no one in this world who doesn't have some, at least some distant connection with somebody they love who's been at least through part of this or will be through part of this. And it was
right.
such a loving embrace. I guess that's the way I would describe it. It was a loving embrace, intelligently presented, very, very readable. So,
wow.
So, Caroline, tell us.
Can I put something? I'm sorry.
Tell the community how they could get the book if they wanted to for Christmas.
That was going to be my next question. So, Carolyn, you're on.
Yeah.
Just tell everybody.
Okay. Well, the book is called My Wild Ride, How to Thrive After Breast Cancer and Infidelity. And it's a comedy self-help memoir with cartoons, but also with a very, very hefty bibliography. I did a lot of research. I referenced more than 100 studies and almost 70 books. So
it's
humorous.
Very smart.
But it's also got a lot of information in it. So thank you. So Glenda, would you be okay with me putting some of your comments on my website as endorsement for my book?
Have at it.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Yes?
I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really stoked about that because it looks like
really
I have one more
endorse. I am ready, so ready to endorse all contributions to the betterment of humanity. I truly am. You know.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it just seems like the universe is helping me out a little bit because it's always an uphill struggle as a writer. But I just found out also that I think I'm going to get an endorsement from Foster Gamble, who was the co-producer of the Thrive documentaries. So because he read the book and liked it. So that's good too.
Congratulations.
My book is on Kindle as an e-book and as you can get it in paperback and Kindle, that book, and my previous book, which was called Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. That's only about infidelity. But the second book, I think, is a better one. And infidelity is one subject, but breast cancer touches so many people. 1 out of 8 women in the U.S. and in the U.K. will be diagnosed in their lifetime with breast cancer. So pretty much everybody is touched by it. Either they themselves or they know somebody who's been touched by breast cancer. It's a big subject.
Okay.
So thank you.
Great,
thank you so much.
Great.
Very grateful.
All right. Anyone who reads your book will be grateful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Okay, then. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
Wonderful. Okay, Glenda, we have, I don't have a name, but area code 808.
Diana. Hi.
Diana, hi.
Hello, Diana.
I really need your help. I just finished my first term in medical school, and the administrators are very upset with me for calling them out on several things that I thought were out of integrity, and it's just been a theme from the very beginning of butting heads. And I don't know if I could continue for another 3 years without getting kicked out or what the best. I don't know what to do, basically. They are demanding that I meet with them. I just got an email with, like, 15 bullet points of things I've done wrong, even though I have straight A's. I don't know how to get along with my school.
Well, you know, Diana, I would really jump on your side, except for the fact that it wouldn't be a favor for you. The whole world is made up of groups. And once you decide to join a group, it's really incumbent upon the singular person to express and demonstrate loyalty before you speak out about the group. And that is common practice throughout all of humanity, in every division, everywhere. When I was at the university, the politics in the university were unbelievable. And then I was an artist with some major galleries in New York City. Oh my goodness, I had to be there really touting the glory of their most esteemed artists, even though I really didn't like their work. And I thought it was kind of, you know, they got by cheating, sort of. I couldn't say a word. It's all the way, it's every branch of humanity, and it's a lesson you need to learn right now, because you need to make good choices about which groups you join, because every group will demand it of you. And I can say that from my entry point into the organized side of Christianity, with the challenges I was met becoming, no problem with becoming a deacon. There were women deacons in the apostolic line of churches, back centuries, but becoming a priest, oh Lord, no. I had to go in front of virtually an inquisition of bishops who wanted to know everything about me from my birthday on. And I mean, the day of my birth on. It didn't cease. And the Inquisition never ceased. But I was actually invited to be ordained as a priest. But there were no apologies for putting me through it, because I was being reminded to keep my foot on the grill and watch my step. Okay. Now, after I thought I was becoming very comfortable in the world of Christianity, I had a similar inquisition by a major, major apostolic church. Major. I mean, they were worldwide. And I really, really thought I was going to be put on the cross and nailed upside down along with Peter. I was sick. I had a serious come down of the flu after that. But as a result, what they did is they published my painting on the cover of their international magazine. Did they ever apologize? No, because I was supposed to remember that I was just a member of the group. I had no power of say yet, and that's all they were doing. They were putting me on the grill to remind me of my rank. I had no rank at that point, none. That's what it was all about. I have been indoctrinated in several other very, very worthy groups, always the same, always the same. So you have to decide whether you really want to be part of this group. And if you do, take the knocks that go with it, because that's the way it will be. But you will get your degree, and you will come out at a point where then you can speak your truth. You earn that right. I think a lot of misunderstanding is occurring in the world today, maybe as an overreaction to all of this I'm telling you right now, because new generations are coming on and they're saying, we're not going to do this. We're not going to put up with this. We just want to be respected. Well, my friends, in the history of humanity, as far back as history will tell us, including the life of Christ, you earn your respect. Did the priests of the temple respect him? Heavens, no. Did the Pharisees respect him? No. Did the wealthy people respect him? No. Did the people of education respect him? No way. The poor people, took him in. The poor people who didn't have an issue with respect, they took him in, they learned from him, and they were lifted up. They were lifted up. He earned his respect for the world by dying on the cross and being resurrected. We all earn our respect. And I have, there are days when I can say I have been through hell doing what I'm doing, getting to the point where I have freedom to speak my mind and my heart, and I do. But it's a well-earned privilege. So I'm not going to side with you on that because I don't think I would be doing you any good. You need to just put up with them for now. They're probably going to respect you and admire you and give you your degree and everything you want, but they're not going to apologize because right now they have the power and they're going to show it, and that is human nature.
Okay, I hear everything you're saying, and I feel like I've really taken in what you've said, but I also want to respectfully disagree with one point that was made about how, as human beings, we have to earn our way to speak our truth. I think it's a birthright. We have to.
No, you don't have to earn your way to. You do not have to earn anything to speak your truth. You have to earn your way to get respected for it.
I don't need the respect. I just need that piece of paper. And I've gotten straight A's. And
yeah, well, without the respect, you won't get that piece of paper. That's what I mean, it's a reality I'm sharing with you because I care about you. And I think you will do great things in the world. And, you know, I could tell you just, oh, go out and be a defiant. Put graffiti on the walls. It's okay. But you know, those guys that put graffiti on the walls, they don't get those pieces of paper.
I don't understand the wall metaphor. I'm sorry. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's kind of a New York metaphor. The subways in New York City are covered with graffiti.
And, oh, graffiti. I understand what you're saying. Graffiti. Like the rebellion, basically. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And all the young, the young gangs, they've got their signature identity and their places on the wall, and they go put their things on the wall. And, they just say, well, to hell with the world, to hell with society, we're going to do what we want to do, but they're not getting anywhere. And, you know, you can create a revolution better when you've gone through, shall we say, the fraternity initiation. It's just where we are at this point in humanity.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
I have not liked most of the people that put me through the grill, but I thought, you know, they're there for a reason. God put me here, so...
And God's never not with me. Yeah.
Do you feel that they're trying to expel me? Because it looks certainly like we're going that direction. Which
it all depends on how you react.
Okay, I understand.
They're trying to see how you react. They're going to push you right now. And that's why I'm helping strengthening you. You have to forgive. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I'll meet with them. They'll be bringing support with me because I feel ganged up on right now with all these administrators wanting to meet with me. And I'm like a top student. People love having me in their classes, but they've listed the most ridiculous reasons. Like I let people pet my dog in class and that's illegal. All these things. I think they're just building a case. So I feel pinned against the wall right now, honestly.
Apologize.
I have to apologize for,
if you broke a rule, apologize.
Okay. Okay. I apologize for breaking any rules.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to be your mom on this. I'm going to be your mom on this one. Okay.
Okay.
Because if you broke rules, apologize. Whatever you didn't do that you should have done, apologize. It shows humility. It shows obedience. They want to know that you're going to be an obedient person and not obedient to fools, I hope. I hope we can weed the fools out of the system. But you've got to be demonstrate that you've got a capacity within yourself to be obedient.
Okay. I'm going to be obedient.
That's right. I want you to be successful, and I'm teaching you how.
I didn't like
all the communities. Oh, the prejudice, the bigotry, the judgment, and the limitations of vision, the small box they lived in. I was just stunned to hear the words that came out at me. But the fact is, I was being tempted to see if they wanted to have me inside their box. Well, the fact is, I didn't really want to be inside their box, but I wanted to love the people who were inside their box. I wanted to have an invitation to communicate, to be present, and for others to not be afraid of me. And you have to realize that people who judge you in this degree are probably driven by fear. I'm gonna give you an example. And this is in the medical community. It's at a medical firm that is very corporate. And you're probably aware of some of the large medical firms that are totally corporate in the way they do everything. Okay. I was moving here. I needed a doctor because at that time I had a very painful herniated disc. And I found a good doctor for that, but I needed a primary care physician in order to back me up on what I needed. All right. So I got references and I went to this corporate firm and there was a particular doctor I wanted for my doctor and had an appointment with him that day. Okay. I arrived, and I was ushered in to see a nurse practitioner. And I said, but my appointment was with Dr. So-and-so. Okay. And she said, well, you've got me. And I said, well, is this just a temporary thing, or will I be able to see Dr. So-and-so next time and in the future? No, we've decided you're going to see me. And I said, well, all right, well, let's see how you and I get along. And she said, well, it doesn't have anything to do with get along, you know, because he's going to supervise everything I do. And I was thinking, wow, that's pretty rude. You know, this whole thing is really pretty rude. And I told her that I had, you know, I told her about the herniated disc, and I told her about a few other problems I had. And she said, well, before I take you on, I've got to do a full physical of you. Do I really need to be put through that level of stress right now? I just need to get a few pressing things happen. But okay, I just said, well, call me and let me know what you want. And the next day, I got a call from a cardiac physician setting me up for a cardiac stress test on a treadmill. Okay. Do you put a herniated disc patient on a treadmill for a cardiac stress test? I don't think so. That was a bad call. And the only reason she did it was to protect herself. That woman was driven by fear from the moment she walked in the room, and she saw that I was a strong person as a patient, and she couldn't hold her own with me, and she was going to put me on the defensive, on the grid, to protect her. Now, the reason I'm taking this long story is because I think everybody needs to hear this. There's a lot going on of opinion about the medical profession. And what most of them are doing is protecting their own self that is scared to death. Thank goodness we finally got rid of Fauci. That was a man who was scared to death of everything and implemented a lot of hurtful procedures because he was scared to death. And we're seeing a lot of that in the medical profession today. We're going to be seeing that a lot in many professions in the coming days. And this actually follows in harmony with Stormy's word about reliable. Well, I learned after that call from the cardiac clinic, this woman is not reliable. She's not at all reliable. Well, I just left that firm. And I found a local doctor that's really very good. And he's into doctoring. Well, the thing is, you know, after you get your piece of paper, you can get into doctoring. In the meantime, a lot of things that will come to bear on your life are corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what a lot of us are encountering right today, whether it's from the government or some organized profession or just the county courthouse. A lot of what's coming down to us is corporate. Corporate decided and people defending their position within a corporate organization. And there's going to be more of that because fear causes people to behave that way.
Right.
Okay?
The solution then is for me to demonstrate obedience by apologizing. Did I get everything?
That's right.
Or?
That's right. And then okay. you don't give up the truth in your own mind and your own heart. You hold firm to what you know is true. You hold firm to your goal. You hold firm to why you're there. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hold your truth. Hold your goal. And be courageous. Okay?
Be courageous. Yep, be courageous. Thank you.
Okay, somebody I know very well was very courageous on the cross. And he had the courage to forgive everybody.
Wow.
I really feel like forgiveness is like an energy that comes, but rather than something that I can will on my own. If that makes
you
sense.
You can do it on your own. You're not, you know, I'm staying with you right now, but I'm going to change the subject a little bit because this leads to a very universal thing that we all need to know. And that is that just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you change their fate. If someone has really broken the laws of God, they're still accountable to God. They're accountable to all those people they may have hurt. But forgiving means you have acknowledged their humanity. You have acknowledged the fact that somewhere inside that person is a grain of love that deserves to be inflamed, that deserves to glow brighter. Somewhere in that person is some goodness that needs to be built on. Because if that person grows a little bit in their goodness, it will modify their fate, not erase it, but modify it. It will help them perhaps ask forgiveness for others. And in the long run, I want you to think about whenever you forgive someone, I want you to think about what it feels like to be forgiven. Because those who forgive will be forgiven. And not by the same person, because that same person may have nothing to forgive you for, but the energy of forgiveness. You will receive it. It is the best give and receive energy in the universe.
Uh-huh.
It heals people. It heals you. And it releases from everything that's been hurt.
That's really powerful.
That's
the message.
That's a message for everybody.
Can I ask for a blessing on just help in forgiving the school and everyone
yes.
I haven't forgiven yet?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
And I think that's a great blessing for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so
much. You're welcome. You're welcome and be blessed.
Okay. Let's see. We have Tara.
Aloha, Glenda and Nancy.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello to this beloved community. I send my love and my blessings to this community in our Advent season. And I just want to affirm that I'm definitely in a hard chapter, and yet I affirm the joy and I affirm the blessings and I trust God and Yeshua with all of it. And
yes.
I want to ask for a and a special blessing, continued blessings for my beloved Papa Pete, Peter Sullivan, and also blessings for me in terms of just knowing how to navigate this transition of his illness, like if I'm meant to move into his home or just how we can navigate that change. So blessings for that. I want to ask for blessings for my beloved brother Tristan and his music and art and for all artists. And I want to ask for a blessing for my home out in California, that it stays dry and safe and cozy. And actually, I ask that for all of our homes, that they are safe and cozy and nourishing, and for all of our artists and for all of our beloved parents.
Oh, yes. That's a great blessing. I mean, that could just be for Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Sarah, you've got our blessings, and we will pray for more.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Nancy, I think we've got Ann on the phone.
We have Ann here. The line is open.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, Glenda. This is Ann. I attended for the first time last week, and I wanted to say thank you very much for the blessing. I was, I think I shared about a conflict I had with my mother over buying a house together, and I am still in Uruguay. I haven't talked with her, but I could really feel the blessing the night, and the next day. And I have felt more freedom around just the idea of being kind of going more in my own direction and going in a little more independent, I guess, process. For my mother, even if she doesn't exactly understand that I need to be really true to myself. So I really want to thank you, because that has shifted. And then some other blessings have opened up with just arranging for where I'm going to live. Well, because there was a bunch of stuff about where am I going to live? Are we buying a house together? Are we not buying a house together? And all this, you know, we're having a house built. My name's on the contract, and you know, a lot of craziness, but I'm just feel like I was, I've been able to take some, make some next steps that seem right about just, you know, opening to more clarity and more blessings about my direction with her. So I just want to thank you and Yeshua, of course, for the blessing I received last week. And I think today I think part of one of the things that kind of lit under me was that that in some ways my mother and I had a little bit of an agreement for some mutuality about kind of taking care of each other, and it was kind of I would say like blown apart to some degree over this last month about what does that really mean about, you know, supporting each other. And so I've really, more about my individual path, have really kind of come back to, wow, I've accomplished a lot. I have a business and I've accomplished a lot. And I have some pretty, really great clients, and I have some awesome employees and team members. But I feel a little bit like there's like a sense of purpose. I mean, it's like I do good work. I feel engaged while I'm doing my work, but I'm really reluctant to expand it and take on even more work. And I feel like there's like a purpose piece that I'm somehow miss. I don't know. It's like I can say something like, oh, this is what I'm here to do. But I've really been reflecting that there's some aspect within my body that I'm not feeling on as deep a level. And so I guess in opening to my own personal path, I'd really love, I guess my prayer is for a blessing of a greater, deeper sense of inner purpose about, you know, what I'm here to contribute to the world And, you know, if that's to show up in my business, to have more clarity about how that shows up so I can share it more easily with people. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, all right. We will give you blessings for clarity of your purpose and also for how that stacks up with your issues with your mother. Because one of the things that I have discovered in my own life and in many forms of counseling is that when our purposes are unclear in one area of life, it makes it very complicated to make future commitments in different areas, because one level of commitment most definitely hinges in on the other. Now, I find this most common in couples who are contemplating marriage or who are recovering a marriage that hit the skids a little bit, because levels of commitment really do need to line up so that one nourishes the other, and you build with those in your life who partner in your life to reinforce and enhance all the levels of commitment you have. So I just pray for peace of mind for you and clarity of purpose, that you can put the different parts of your life together harmoniously and make decisions that you're willing to live with. Because if you're willing to live with the commitment you're making, then others will have confidence in you. And in a very shaky world, it's easy for some people to become confused, reluctant, a little bit doubtful or scared to make a commitment with you, because they don't know where you're going. They don't know what you're doing, where you're going, what you mean. And this has become a widespread climate in our country, and even more so in some other countries. So I pray for your peace, your inner peace, your inner guidance, so that you're a person able to make collateral commitments to other people, because they will trust you and they will then abide by their promises to you.
Thank you.
It was perfect.
I really appreciate what you just said, and I thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And be sure to stay on for the blessing. Okay, because we'll be here for
you. I sure will.
All right. And Nancy, are you still on call?
I'm here. I sure am. Okay. We are at the end. We don't have any more callers.
No, I'm thinking this may be a good time to head into our blessing, because I could actually take a few minutes to preface about the blessing, which I have not done for a while, and we do have some new people in our community and on the call, and it might just give some needed understanding. So I think I'll just take a few minutes to do that, and then we will start our
blessing. We do have help. Helen from 512 just popped in if we want to take one more call. Okay.
All right, sure. Hello, Helen.
Hi, friends. Hi, Glenda. I need a blessing for my twin sister who's a little bit lost right now because of her moving away from her ex. She moved in with him. She doesn't know where to move. So a little blessing for her to help her find her way again in life.
Okay. You got it. What's her name?
Thank you.
Okay.
Helen, what's her name?
Natsika.
Natsika. Okay.
Yeah, you'll call her Natsi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Helen, for those of you who haven't had the pleasure of meeting Helen, she's Greek. And so her family is Greek. And charming, delightful, brilliant woman who brightens my life every day.
Oh,
all right. Thank you, Helen. And we will keep her in our heart. And I'm just going to address I'm going to take it off of the Q&A mode.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll just talk about the blessing, all right?
So in my many visitations with Yeshua about the blessing, he has always worked on strengthening my reverence and understanding for the power of faith. And he's many times clarified that faith is very different than believing. We could believe in a lot of things that let us down. You know, sometimes we don't know what to believe in. You know, especially in the world we're living today, when we think something has it all wrapped up and it's great, then we realize, there's a little bit of mildew there. We need to clean that thought out and get on to something better. So we think that, somebody's got the latest and the greatest idea or solution, and then we find out, well, that wasn't so good, was it? Without necessarily being judgmental, we just move on to something else we think we can believe in. Well, faith is not about believing in anything. Faith is about our union with God. When you strike up your union with God, you don't have to know what you're doing. You don't have to know why you're doing it, and you don't have to know what's down the road, because God knows everything. And most of all, he knows you. He knows your potential. He knows your faith. He knows what will be offered to you, what you can do, and what you will do. And when we are in harmony with God, we are in a state of faith. Now, how do you get there? That should be your next question, and I'm sure a lot of people would ask that. And they say, well, it sometimes takes courage. Courage is an aspect of faith. You know, it takes a lot of courage to have faith in something that you believe in, and you know it's right, but there's possibly a lot of objections coming to face you, a lot of challenges and difficulties, and you have to know inside, it's just the right thing for you to do. So how do you know that? Well, you first of all got to know what love feels like from the inside out. We all know what love feels like on the outside. Well, it feels like liking someone, being liked, being with around people who do good things, and we get to do good things, and we get the benefit of all of those wonderful treasures of expression or material gifting. Wonderful as that is, it's not the love that you are. The love that you are knows that you're in the right place with the right people, even if you don't get feedback that confirms it every day. It's that inner knowing. It's the truth of who you are, because only God can give that truth. The world will not give it. The world will give you many roles. It'll give you many hats to wear. It'll give you functions and opportunities and paychecks. Or it might deny you some paychecks. But it will shape you. It will try to shape you according to what it needs. That's what the world will do. That is not what God does. God is in you. For you to be you and to be all that you can be, despite the world, despite the world. For you to be following your destiny, whether you get paid or you don't get paid. Yeshua sent the apostles all out into the world without anything but sandals on their feet and a knapsack on their back. And he said, don't worry about how you will be paid. You will earn it every day you live. And they did. Of course, they got some pretty bad feedback also. And some of them landed in prison. Some of them were tortured to death. Because that's the world. It's not because that's who they were. It's because that's the world. And knowing the difference between who you are and who the world is what will keep your faith strong. And it's what will bring you into a state of blessings that are incomprehensible to the world or even to other people. It takes you off the timeline of the world. The world always has a timeline. It always says, well, you got to do this, this, and this progressively. And if we approve of what you did, you'll get that piece of paper. We'll trust you. And you can do the work. Well, faith is what tells you, this is my destiny. And it doesn't matter what they say. Let them say what they want to, because I know that my destiny will unfold according to the love that I am. That's what actually holds your destiny. So this is why, with every miracle that Yeshua ever performed, the first thing he said to the recipient was not, congratulations, or you did good, or isn't God good? No, all he said is your faith made you whole. You see, your faith puts you in contact with God, and God has all the answers. God has all the solutions. There are no problems from God. There just really are none. But we do put barriers between ourselves and God, and we put lots of barriers there because the world threatens us. The world threatens us to do things their way. And we forget how to be with God. So courage is one of those ways. Another is yourself, knowing the power of self inside you, that it's greater than anything you have to prove in the world. You will shine your light, just as Yeshua said, shine your light to the world. Stand on a mountaintop and let the world see who you are. Among the other things that cultivate faith are innocence, like a child. In your innocence, you don't judge. You don't put up defenses. You just look out at the horizon and say, oh, isn't that interesting? I wonder what's out there. I wonder if I can go there. I wonder if I could do something there. And the other thing that cultivates faith, which is really actually quite important, is forgiving. Because you give, in forgiving, you give up the grudge you're holding. Because you can't do anything anyway. You will never punish that person for what they did. And you're trusting that God will take care of it. You, since you forgive, get yourself out of the picture. Get yourself out of that equation. And the other is giving. Just giving without a quid pro quo. Okay, you know what a quid pro quo is. Maybe you don't. Okay. A quid pro quo means I give you something, you give me back something. Okay. The whole world, most of the world, goes on a quid pro quo. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. Then you are an indentured servant until you comply. Unfortunately, all politics is quid pro quo. All business, of course, is quid pro quo because, you know, you pay for merchandise, you want to get merchandise in return that is worth what you paid for it. So it's part of the world. It's a very big part of the world. But giving just to give. I'm talking about genuine charity. I'm talking about tithing, just giving back to God, sets you free. And it is possibly the greatest expression of faith that there is. And much as I give all the time, I'm still always learning more and more about how I could just be giving. I'll find myself holding on to things thinking, well, you know, I'm going to hold on to that for all the memories that are in it because I really cherish that from the time
I was friends or with so-and-so or my parents or, you know, it's a cherished memory. It fills my life. And I'll be thinking good thoughts about it and just hope. And then, you know, one day I'll think, you know what? Best thing I can do with that is give all of these lovely memories to somebody else. I don't need this to remember those things. Somebody else could get something lovely out of this. I've bought really nice suits for seminars I've conducted, and I keep them thinking, well, you know, next time I do a seminar, I won't have to buy a suit. But, you know, by the time I do another one, I might not feel like wearing that, and I'm thinking, how many people would really like to be able to dress up for a job appointment? If I gave this away, somebody might get a job. You know, it just keeps building and building. I think about things I can give that it never occurred to me before. So these are really some of the things that build your faith. Driving into the dark, knowing you're the only light you need, because God will strengthen your light and provide the guidance. That's faith. That's faith. And faith is your contribution to the blessing. Coming here with faith, being in faith. Now, the rest of the blessing is we are, and when I say we, the blessing givers and I, in union with Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, offer you facilitation to make that connection very strong. And when that connection is very strong, powerful answers come into your life. We do not give you the blessing. We provide the connection. It's kind of like, well, the satellite dish on your roof. There are millions and millions and trillions of patterns of radiation going on in the space around you. But which ones have you subscribed to that you're going to pick up? Well, that satellite dish will know, because it's programmed to pick it up. And this is why in the blessing we ask you to be in prayer, because you're going to provide the signal base for picking up what's coming in that's meant exactly and properly for you. And you don't have to do anything else except to be comfortable, have all of your body parts uncrossed, no crossed legs, no crossed arms. This is not yoga. You're not stretching. You're not doing anything that is uncomfortable or pushing your body in any form. We do start with a little breathing exercise, but it's nothing strenuous. It's just a little refreshing breath and then a four square breath. And that four square breath is all about giving breath into the world to your count of four. And we let it be your count of four. Because I might count to a different rhythm than you would breathe. And we honor that. And then you're going to let that breath sit out there to the same count of four for you. So that whoever, whatever, receives your breath. And my friends, we all receive each other's breath all the time. Whoever receives your breath will fill their life with it. Then it's your time to inhale to the count of four. And again, it's your count of four. Nothing at all enforced on you. We're here to help you be who you are. You to receive the blessings of life according to your inner being, your inner faith, your inner truth. And then you will hold that breath to your count of four. And you will continue that for a few minutes while I offer a prayer to Yeshua. Blessing givers and I will conduct our ritual of expression, which in no manner is secret. It covers all the stations of his life. He came here to lift our load. He came here to set us free. He came here to forgive us. He came here to seal our union with God and lift us up it's just a ritual expression we have that puts the stations and the gifts of his life in place so that they're there for you. And in the process of doing that, something very wonderful happens to our blessing givers, and that is that they go into quantum space, which is outside time and space, and they take you with them. And that's where the real blessing occurs, outside of linear time and space, without outside the quantifiable universe, where you and God are doing it all. And then we send you to rest, so that you will go and rest for 7 minutes. And don't think about anything, because thoughts will take you back in to the quantifiable universe. Don't even continue your prayer, because you do that in words. If you can just be in spiritual prayer, no words, that's all right. So, and that's it. And then you go about your day, your week, and be aware as these blessings are being given, because they won't be given in linear time. It has nothing to do with linearity. It has nothing to do with gaining permission from the world. These blessings will come as they can be arranged by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God within you, by the love of Christ surrounding you. And they will come. Just be aware so that you can express your gratitude when they come. And all of that being said, let's get ready, okay? I want you all just to be relaxed, stretch your legs, your arms, shake them out a little bit so you get those, all those muscles loose that you might have been cramping on. Well, you know, even when you think you're relaxing, you're probably cramping up a little bit. Maybe your head's just been laying back and you didn't even know that you were adjusting it to the chair and cramping a little bit. Shake out your arms. Get it loose. Turn your head, your neck. Bob it up and down. Get everything loose. Sit up in your chair and lean forward. Then lean to the side, both ways, to limber your spine. You know, from the top of your head to the base of your spine, you're going to be conducting a very high frequency of energy. This is why I don't want you to cross anything, because that energy is going down into the earth, and the earth will grab it and send it back through the other side of your body. The earth and her wonderful energy is a very important part of this blessing, because the earth is innocent. She has no artificial agendas at all. She only has her programming by God. That's it. Which is why she can overcome anything. And she will bless you, because you are her child also, as well as a child of God. So I ask people, to the degree that it's convenient and not climate prohibitive, to have your both your shoes and your socks off, because your bare feet will be more in closer to direct contact with the earth and be able more to pick up her energy. So many of our shoes and fabrics today are polyesters or some conglomerate of petroleum products. And even though originally they were earth energy, they've been pretty compounded and coagulated. So they don't flow energy really properly. If you need to have your head covered, let it be with natural fiber. Some people really do believe in having your head covered when they're in the presence of God. Let it be either cotton, silk, wool, linen, something of that sort that is natural. I suppose bamboo would be fine. Of any natural fiber would be fine. So let's get ready. I want you to just take a very deep breath now. Swell your tummy up all the way, and now swell your chest up,
hold it, let it pull everything from your body that needs to be released, and release it all. Just let it out. Let's do this one more time. The deep cleansing breath, all in, and then all out. Okay? Now we're going to begin our four square breath. Let's just gently, but mindfully, remember it to be mindful about this breath, because breath is your life and your life is breath. Exhale to your count of four. And then give it away to the count of four. Take your turn and receive breath back to your count of four. And then take it into all parts of your body to the count of four. Now repeat again. And continue doing this as I offer our prayer to Yeshua. Beloved Yeshua, Son of God, and brother, elder brother, perfect exemplary to humankind, we thank you for being with us. And we ask on behalf of those who don't know to ask that you be with them also. That we have all asked and knowing that we shall all receive. We thank you for all the blessings that we have received through the whole of our life, before our life, and that we shall receive after our life. For life of the heart is eternal. We thank you for showing us that with your marvelous life, your splendid life of the heart, the sacred heart that beats forever on behalf of us all. That assures our infinite survival and eternity, way beyond the cares and the toils of this world. While we're here, though, we ask that you help us do the best work that we can, that you help us discover our true purpose that gives us more power to our hearts, more guidance to our life, more fellowship with our fellow man, that we can be in our strength, joyful, and moving forward all the days of our life to do the work we came to do. We ask that you forgive us for our failures and our shortcomings, and that you lift us above all of our regrets, that we may only take to the light, that we may be only guided by the light, and joined with all the others in the light, now and forevermore. We thank you for everyone who has come here to receive blessings, that they may carry blessings out to the world. We thank you for their innocence and their faith, their joy, and their endeavors to be the best person they can be in all things, forever. In your name, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing's been given. Now take it into your heart and go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think about anything. Just be a blank slate and let God write upon it. Bye-bye for now. I wish you a very happy day, a happy week, and success in all you do. Look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye.